Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sonequa Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast. Number 182, titled The Papacy, Part 2. Our scripture passage for today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which reads, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Our History of Christianity quote for today is from Jerome of Bethlehem. He said, "As I follow no leader save Christ, so I communicate with none but your blessedness, that is, with the chair of Peter. For this I know is the rock on which the church is built. This is the only house where the paschal lamb can be rightly eaten. This is the ark of Noah, and he who is not found in it shall perish when the flood prevails." Today in the History of Christianity, dear friends, we're looking at the Papacy Part 2 from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. Leo died in 461 and was succeeded by Hilarius, who had been his close associate and who continued his policies. But under the next pope, Simplicius, conditions changed. In 476, Odoacer deposed the last Western emperor, and thus began in Italy a long period of political chaos. In theory, Italy was now part of the Eastern Roman Empire, but there were constant tensions between the popes and the Eastern emperors, mostly having to do with the theological controversies, to which we shall return shortly. Eventually, this resulted in a schism between East and West that would take several years to heal. This schism was further aggravated by the invasion of Italy by the Ostrogoths. Since they were Aryan, tensions between them and the earlier population were unavoidable. By 498, these tensions resulted in the existence of two rival popes, one supported by the Ostrogoths and the other by Constantinople. There were violent riots in the streets of Rome, where the followers of one pope clashed with the followers of the other. At long last, after a series of synods, the conflict was resolved. The new pope was Hormisdas, 514 to 523, and under his leadership, a series of negotiations finally ended the schism with Constantinople. Meanwhile, the Byzantine Empire was enjoying its brief resurgence under the leadership of Emperor Justinian. It was then that Belisarius invaded Italy and put an end to the kingdom of the Ostrogoths. But this did not bring a favorable change for the church in Italy, for the emperor and his functionaries tried to impose there a situation similar to that which existed in the Eastern Empire, where the church was almost completely subject to the state. The next few popes, for as long as Byzantium held sway, were mere puppets of Justinian and of his empress, Theodora. Those who dared follow an independent policy soon felt the consequences of imperial wrath. As part of this revival of the Byzantine Empire, Justinian rebuilt in Constantinople the Cathedral of Saint Sophia, Hagia Sophia, dedicated to Christ as Holy Wisdom. It is said that when he beheld the finished product, he boasted, "Solomon, I have outdone thee." This structure still stands, although now surrounded by minarets built after the Turkish conquest. Byzantine power over Italy did not last long. Only 6 years after the last stronghold of the Ostrogoths had been conquered, the Lombards invaded the area. Had they been united, they would soon have conquered all of it. But after their first victories, they broke up into several rival groups, and this slowed their advance. After Justinian's death in 565, Byzantine power began to wane, and Constantinople could no longer maintain a strong army in Italy. Thus, those who had not been conquered by the Lombards, although still technically part of the Eastern Empire, were forced to take measures for their defense. In Rome, the popes became responsible for the preservation of the city against the Lombard threat. When Benedict I died in 579, the Lombards were besieging the city. His successor, Pelagius, saved it by buying the Lombards off. Then, since no help was forthcoming from Constantinople, he turned to the Franks, hoping that they would attack the Lombards from the north. Although these initial negotiations did not come to fruition, they pointed to the future, when the Franks would become the main support of the papacy. The next pope, Gregory, was one of the blessed men ever to occupy that position. We have already met him as the person who sent Augustine and his companions in a mission to England. He was born in Rome around 540, apparently to a family of the old aristocracy. At that time, Justinian reigned in Constantinople, and his generals were fighting the Ostrogoths in Italy. Belisarius, Justinian's blessed general, had been recalled to Constantinople, and the war dragged on. The Ostrogoth king Totila took the offensive for a short time. In 545, he besieged Rome, which surrounded the next year. At that time, Archdeacon Pelagius, later Pope Pelagius, went out to meet the victorious king and obtain from him a measure of mercy. It is likely that Gregory was at Rome at the time and witnessed both the sufferings during the siege, and Pelagius' intervention on behalf of the city. In any case, the Rome that Gregory knew was a far cry from the ancient glory of the empire. Shortly after Totila's victory, Belisarius and the Byzantines retook the city, only to lose it again. After years of neglect and repeated sieges, the city was in a grave state of chaos and mismanagement. Many of its ancient monuments and buildings had been destroyed in order to provide stones for repairing the walls. The aqueducts and the system of drainage had fallen into disrepair, and disease was rife. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, next time in the history of Christianity, we will continue looking at the papacy. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this time and giving us a mind and the ability to look at the entire history of the church, not just the parts we are interested in or that pertain to us directly. So Lord, help us to learn from the good, help us to learn from the bad. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.